Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in edgewise. Today is the 9th of September, the 253rd day of 2024, with 113 days remaining on our way to 2025. From her collection, Turner-esque, poet Elizabeth Willis brings this a 7.5 liner titled September 9th. It's Turner-esque in twilight. The word comes at me with its headlights on, so it's a revelation and not death. I figure I'm halfway home, though I've only started. Nothing is moving but me. I'm a blackbird. The neighbors in labor, but so am I, pushing against the road. Physics tells us nothing is lost, but I've been copping time from death and can't relent for every job the stars drop on my back. The concept of the stars generating an assortment of work for us seems easy enough to understand. Composed as we are of stardust, first organically, then gradually sloughing off the muscle, leaving only sinew and bone, and eventually just bone. At the dentist's office last week, my perky dental hygienist shot x-rays and asked me whether anything had been causing me pain lately. I mentioned a molar in my left upper quadrant sometimes seemed sensitive to sweets. She called her boss, the affable dentist, over and he looked at the x-rays, declaring I was cavity-free, with the caveat that a couple of amalgam fillings more than a half century old might be occasionally a little drafty, causing sporadic discomfort. Years ago, Hago, a friend of mine, was best friends with Peter, an Ellsworth dentist whom we called Doc, and who's no longer with us. Doc was my friend too, but our friendship was not like his with Hago, who questioned the intricate efforts of care and maintenance aimed at optimizing the health of one's teeth. "The teeth should not outlive the body," Hago remonstrated, as indeed our remains tend to testify. Ah, yes, what wonderful things old age brings. I go from one day thinking I will outlive our coon cats to the next day thinking they'll outlive me. And meantime, the plants and terracotta pots on our patio continue to bring forth the most delicious tomatoes, eggplants, and peppers. Mostly goldenrod, butterfly weed, bee balm, pheasant's eye, hollyhocks, and evening primrose continue to flower in our garden. The oregano, basil, and lemon thyme are prolific. Canadian rhubarb is on its second wind for the season. And from across town at Terra Plen, we're using racket-sized little green apples for a nice occasional end-of-the-summer compote. Just down the road, another sort of garden, somewhat inclined industrially, for indeed such is the big business of American higher education in the third decade of the 21st century, has launched another growing season this past week. Hundreds of professors are again trying to survive another semester, coping with thousands of students who increasingly are treated as customers the university's administrators dote on, since the only way those administrators can continue to enjoy their exorbitant salaries is to focus on retention of their customers. Alas, the professors, too, fall prey to carving out courses whose content favors crowd control over independent critical thinking, as the students collectively constitute a complaint department that holds great sway with the university's administrators, who will invariably side with whingy students against beleaguered faculty. Another opportunity to get it right, thinks the hopeful professor at the onset of the semester, though the following 14 weeks is essentially anybody's guess at success. Heavenward, the planet Saturn rose last night at sunset and was at opposition, meaning it reached its highest point in the sky at midnight and did not set until a couple of hours ago at sunrise. Early on Wednesday morning, we'll have September's first quarter moon. Today in 1543, Mary Stuart, at 9 months old, was crowned Queen of Scots in the Scottish town of Stirling. Today in 1553, the Roman Inquisition in the Campo de Fiori burned all the copies it could find of the Talmud and other Jewish texts. Today in 1836, Ralph Waldo Emerson published his long essay, Nature, outlining American Transcendentalism. Today in 1839, English astronomer John Herschel made the first glass plate photograph. Today in 1912, French aviator Jules Vedrin made the first flight over 100 miles per hour. Today in 1956, Elvis Presley appeared on The Ed Sullivan Show for the first time. Today in 1957, U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower signed the first civil rights bill since Reconstruction. Today in 1828 in Tula, Russia, Count Leo Tolstoy was born, though because of the death of his aristocratic parents, Leo was raised by relatives. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us that when Leo finished his education, he was supposed to manage his family's estate, but he preferred the social life of Moscow and St. Petersburg, cities where he acquired a wild set of friends who threw parties and provided plenty of distractions. Eventually, however, he grew annoyed with himself and joined his brother in the Russian army to escape the bad influence of his friends. Tolstoy served in the Caucasus, filling his off hours writing his first novel, Childhood. Then he was transferred to the Danube front and saw combat during the Crimean War, afterwards leaving the service. His novel had become a success, followed by his most renowned works, Anna Karenina and War and Peace. As a boy, young Tolstoy and his brother formed a club whose initiation required the prospective member to stand in a corner for 30 minutes and not think of a polar bear. Today is also the birthday in 1850 of British anthropologist and linguist Jane Ellen Harrison, in 1868 of American nature writer and early feminist Mary Austin, in 1872 of the first female Black American newspaper columnist Delilah Beasley, in 1890 of American founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken Colonel Sanders, in 1900 of English novelist James Hilton, in 1903 of American mystery writer Phyllis Whitney, in 1909 of German actress Jane Baxter, in 1923 of American actor Cliff Robertson, in 1924 of American actress Sylvia Miles, in 1927 of American jazz drummer Elvin Jones, in 1941 of American soul singer-songwriter Otis Redding, in 1943 of American rock and country guitarist Freddie Weller, in 1946 of Canadian bassist Bruce Palmer and of American rock vocalist and keyboardist Doug Engle, in 1952 of British rock guitarist and songwriter Dave Stewart, in 1960 of English actor Hugh Grant, in 1966 of American actor and comedian Adam Sandler, and of Swiss actor David Bennett, and in 1969 of American actress Constance Marie. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Acella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the 12th full week of summer and to the 37th week of 2024.